Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
A quick warning before we begin. This episode will contain the names of people and places that are entirely fictional, which I'm sure to mispronounce often. I hope you'll find it in your heart to forgive me. Enjoy the show.
Between the years when the oceans drank Atlantis and the rise of the sons of Arius, there was an age undreamed of, when shining kingdoms lay spread across the world. Hither came Conan, the Cimmerian, sword in hand. It is I, his chronicler, who knows well his saga. Now let me tell you of the days of high adventure.
Welcome to Hither Came Conan. I'm your host. My name is Steven, and this is a new podcast in which I'm going to be reading the original Robert E. Howard Conan stories, along with the various comic book adaptations, comparing and contrasting the two, and hopefully learning a little something about myself along the way. Now, before we start, this particular episode is going to need a short explanation, and frankly, I'm going to need a bit of explaining as well. First off, since this is episode one, and since this might be your first time listening to any podcast ever hosted by me, I need you to know four very important things. Number one, I am not to be taken too seriously. Don't do it. That path only leads to disappointment and heartbreak.
Don't go breaking my head.
Number two, I get distracted quite easily, and I tend to go off on tangents without any warning whatsoever. I call it tangenting, and when it happens, it may or may not have anything at all to do with Conan. Number three, I don't know an awful lot about either Conan or Robert E. Howard.
Then to hell with you.
My current level of knowledge comes from the two Arnold Schwarzenegger movies and a handful of comics, which leads us into our last item. Number four, I'm not a big fan of research.
I hate research.
In other words, this is not necessarily going to be the kind of show in which I give you a lesson on Conan or Robert E. Howard or both. I will look into things now and again. You know, basically anything that comes up in my reading that I feel like I need to know a bit more about. So I'll look that kind of stuff up. And when I do, I will surely share that information with all of you. But in general, no, not a lot of teaching going on here in this podcast. I'm not an expert, and I should not be regarded as one.
We need your expertise, sir.
Now, as for this episode, it's going to be slightly different than any of the other episodes going forward, if only for one particular reason. See, I had actually started this Conan podcast idea thing over on Just Another Fanboy, a podcast that I've been doing for years. I recorded one Conan episode, and then I went on to other things, vowing to myself that one day I would come back to it. Well, that day is now. I'm ready to do more, and rather than continue them as a part of Just Another Fanboy, I kind of felt that the subject is a bit more important, and because of that, garners its own show. However, since I've already taken the time to record that one episode over there on Just Another Fanboy, I figured, why duplicate my effort? Am I right?
Am I right?
What I'm trying to say here, folks, is that the meat of this episode is going to be mostly pre-released material. I've gone in and I've removed all the junk that refers to it being an episode of Just Another Fanboy, but it will seem like kind of an abrupt start when we get to it here in a moment, which is why I'm going to place a bit of transitional music between this bit and that bit. I know, this bit, that bit, I should stop using so much technical jargon. Anyway, how about we just get into it? Episode 1 of Hither Came Conan, the Frost Giant's Daughter. Enjoy!
Into the boat!
I'm not here to talk about the movies. I'm actually here to talk about the books and the comics. See, this was a character created by Robert E. Howard back in the 30s. His first appearance was in the short story The Phoenix on the Sword from 1932. And it was in that story that Conan is described as Conan, the Cimmerian, black-haired, sullen-eyed, sword in hand, a thief, a reaver, a slayer with gigantic melancholies and gigantic mirth to tread the jeweled thrones of the earth under his sandaled feet. I've always enjoyed that description. I think that's it's an excellent description of a character, especially in their first story. And you know what? I rather like the idea of just being out there treading the jeweled thrones of earth under my sandaled feet. But honestly, when I really give that a lot of thought, it sounds like a lot of work. Anyway, a number of years ago, I bought this book. I had been really in the mood to read some Conan because I had some past experience with the character. You know, I had seen Conan the Destroyer, which I believe was PG or PG-13. I hadn't seen Conan the Barbarian at the time because it was rated R. And so when Conan the Destroyer came out, I think on HBO, because we certainly didn't go see it in the theaters, I would watch it all the time. I was huge into the whole sword and sorcery thing as a kid. Still am. Read a lot of fantasy novels and read a bit of Conan in the Marvel Comics, who had the license for a while back in the 70s. Dark Horse picked up the license in the 2000s, and I read some of that. And then Marvel has since got the license back. But a number of years back, I had just begun thinking. I was working my second job at the Walgreens, and I was up at the counter trying to avoid work between customers. And I got to thinking about the character and how I had owned a couple of books that I don't know if my brother picked them up or my dad picked them up, but they were a couple of paperbacks. And I remember them being around the house, but I never read them. And I do recall at one point picking up a hardback of a Conan book that Robert Jordan had written, because before he became famous from writing the Wheel of Time series, he had written some Conan stuff. And I don't remember anything about that book, if it was a collection of Robert Jordan Conan short stories or if it was a full novel. I'll have to check into that. But I got to really thinking about how much I would probably enjoy reading Conan in the form of prose. And I thought, well, if I'm going to do that, I would probably really enjoy reading the Robert Jordan stuff, but I should probably start with the original Robert E. Howard stories. And so I had picked up my phone and I started to look around on Amazon to see what they had for the Kindle. And I had found a collection that was, even on the Kindle, was like $35-$45 or something. And I just found that to be rather insane. And so I just kind of walked away from the whole affair and became really sad. And then a day or two later, I get this alert from Amazon saying, hey, here's something that you might be interested in because you were looking at Conan stuff. And it was a different collection of short stories, the original 21 short stories. And it was only 99 cents. It was on sale. It was 99 cents for the Kindle. And so I picked that sucker up. It was called Conan, The Collected Adventures of the World's Fiercest Barbarian. And again, it collects all 21 short stories that Robert E. Howard had written. And 17 of those stories did see print during his lifetime. He sold a lot of them to various magazines and whatnot. But I remember at one point I started to read these short stories, and the first one in there is a story. In the book, it's entitled The Gods of the North. And as I started reading it, I realized, wait a minute, this is the Frost Giant's Daughter, which is, I think I had a paperback with that story in it. The cover seems familiar to me, but It was a story I remember reading in the Dark Horse run. And so I read it in the book, and I kept going. I went through a number of the short stories before I realized at one point, because I started doing some research online and found out that the way the stories are collected in this book, they're collected chronologically in Conan's history. If Conan was a real person, the Frost Giant's daughter, or in this case, the title in the collection was The Gods of the North, would have been Conan's first adventure. And then eventually, I think The Phoenix on the Sword is the last story or one of the last stories in the book. And it's set at a time when Conan has become a king. And I was just freaking flabbergasted and blown away to find out that The Phoenix on the Sword was actually the first of the Conan stories that were published. And I found that kind of amazing because I knew that Conan eventually had become a king. They make mention of it in the movies. They had a book, Marvel Comics had a book called Conan the King. But I had always assumed, because the Marvel Comics started when he was, young, late teens probably, and eventually he gets to the point that he's a king, that's how the stories went. But no, he had I don't know the order in which he wrote them, because doing some more research, I found out that he had actually had both The Phoenix on the Sword and The Frost Giant's Daughter, along with a third story, The God in the Bowl, and that he had submitted all three of those to a magazine called Weird Tales. The Phoenix on the Sword was the only one that was accepted. The other two were rejected and returned to Mr. Howard. And so The Phoenix on the Sword became the first Conan story published. And so he had, I don't know, I find it interesting that he had this, at least a range of stories set throughout Conan's career. He had The Frost Giant's Daughter, which is considered the Conan's earliest adventure, and then The Phoenix on the Sword, which is considered Conan's one of his final adventures. But what I want to do here, though, with these series of episodes that I'm taking a really long time to explain. It's been a while since I've read any of those short stories out of that collection, and frankly, I've never finished, because I had started from the beginning, read three or four of the stories, learned that they're not collected in the order in which they were published, and then decided to try and read them in the order in which they were published, which is not an easy, it's not always an easy thing to do, to jump back and forth among stories like that in a Kindle. I mean, it is, it's got a frickin' table of contents that you can just click on the stories. But anyway, I never finished reading that collection, and many of those stories, I don't know actually how many of them, what percentage, but at least a few of them have been adapted into comic books, be it through the Marvel series or the Dark Horse series, or there's a company called Ablaze, which around the same time that Marvel got the Conan license, Ablaze is able to do, I guess the Conan stories are, maybe they are in the public domain at this point, but the name Conan isn't. And so Ablaze does a series of comics, miniseries comics under the title The Cimmerian, which is apparently how they can get away with doing Conan stories. They can call him Conan within the books, but they can't call him Conan on the title because Marvel holds that license. Anyway, what I thought I'd do is I'd go back through the collection, starting with the first story, and read the short story, and then read as many of the comic book adaptions as I could get my hands on.
Hither Came Conan will return after these messages.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
And now back to Hither Came Conan.
So again, the first one, the one we're talking about today is called The Frost Giant's Daughter. It appears in the prose collection as a story called The Gods of the North, which I find it kind of odd that they're using that title in the collection, because based on my research, when Robert E. Howard had this story and he had it called The Frost Giant's Daughter and he submitted it to Weird Tales and it was rejected, he changed the name of the main character from Conan to Amra of Arcbatana. And he changed the title then to The Gods of the North and resubmitted it to a magazine called The Fantasy Fan. And it appeared there in March of 1934. It then eventually got reprinted as a Conan story for Gnomes Press in 1953 for something called The Coming of Conan. And I don't know if it retained the title at that point, The Gods of the North, or if they went ahead and gave it the original title, The Frost Giant's Daughter, in that publication, which I don't know if that's a magazine or a collection of stories. I don't know of, or if it's one of those paperbacks that I have that has three or four of the short stories together in one paperback. But it's in this collection that I'm reading under the name of The Gods of the North. And it's actually a fairly simple tale. Conan is in the north, in the land of the ice and snow. And he is, at this point, he's kind of a traveling warrior. I don't know if he's considered a mercenary at this point, but he's fighting with a group of people called the Iser. I found many ways to pronounce this, the name of these people. Apparently this, a lot of this comes from, Norse mythology. He was, Robert Howard was very inspired by Norse mythology, and so the Frost Giant's Daughter takes place in Nordheim, which is in this world is located north of Sumeria, which is where Conan comes from. And again, he's fighting with these warriors called the Aesir, and they are or Iser, and they are fighting the Vanir. And as the tale takes up, The battle is pretty much over. Everybody on each side is dead except for Conan and a red-haired Vanir. And Conan, of course, slays his enemy. And as he's standing there in the snow, covered in blood, tired and exhausted, suddenly he is visited by a half-naked lady who calls herself Atali. She is wearing a kind of like a veil, a pashmina maybe of some sort, wrapped around her upper torso. It's very transparent. It doesn't leave a lot to the imagination. And she kind of mocks Conan and in essence kind of angers him and builds up his lust and kind of tricks him into following her. And she takes him to an ambush where he is attacked by her two brothers, who are frost giants. And Conan, of course, kills them both. And he chases down Atali and he grabs her up in her arms. And Atali calls out to her father, Ymir, to save her. And Conan, who there's really no bones about it, he is about to rape this woman when her father saves her using a lightning strike, because Ymir is a god. He's the god of the frost giants or something of some sort. So Conan is knocked unconscious by this lightning strike. And when he wakes, he is he finds himself in the company of his the Iser, who he had been fighting with, or at least a group of them that were not part of the battle. And it's almost played off as if this encounter that he had with Atali, the Frost Giant's daughter, was a figment of his imagination or a dream. But then he realizes at the end of the story that he's still holding on to this translucent veil thing that she had been wearing around her torso. Now, I will say that I'm of all the Conan stories that I've read so far, whether they are comic book stories or prose stories, this is really not one of my favorites. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that
Conan was going to rape this woman. And there's a lot of, if you look up this story online and you look at the debate, there's a lot of debate that goes back and forth, and a lot of it that defends, you know, a lot of the from the people that defend the story basically say that under normal circumstances, this is not something that Conan would do. But Atali, being the daughter of a god and a witch, used her magic to basically ensnare him sexually, that she uses her magic to raise his lust, and that's what she uses to cause him to chase her. And so, therefore, it's her fault that he was going to rape her. And I've even seen some of the arguments basically say that if Ymir had not saved her, then she would have gotten what she deserved. And I'll just say I don't agree with that in any sense. Not a big fan of any story in which the main character that you're supposed to be cheering for either attempts to or is going, you know, whether they do rape a woman or they attempt to rape a woman. I'm not a fan of that. I can't get behind that. Even if, I don't know, even if they are, I mean, I guess if he truly was trying to find the word that I'm looking for, I don't want to say he was magicked to rape this woman, but in essence, that's one of the arguments. And you can certainly make that argument. I mean, it's not spelled out. It doesn't really say that in the story. It's kind of something that you would have to make up your own mind about. I don't remember thinking that when I read the story. I don't remember finishing the story and thinking that he was being forced against his will to chase down this woman and then attempt to rape her. I remember finishing the story going, wow, yeah, he was going to rape this girl. That I don't know if I want to even continue with any of these stories. And eventually I did, but not a big fan of this particular story because of that. And for those folks out there who do try to defend it, I can't get behind that defense. I just can't, because again, when I read it, I don't know, maybe my memory has been clouded by the act of attempted rape and I missed that aspect of it, but I honestly don't remember anywhere in the story in which it's made clear that he's doing this against his will, that magic is being used against him. Now, beyond the prose version of this story, this story has been adapted into a number of comics. Originally, for Marvel Comics, when they originally got the Conan license, they printed this story in Savage Tales issue number 1, January of 1971. It was an 11-page story, black and white, by writer Roy Thomas and artist Barry Windsor Smith. This was, of course, I believe it was one of the magazines that Marvel published at the time. And because it was a magazine, they didn't have to follow the rules of the Comics Code Authority. So while it's not graphic, there is a slight bit of nudity in it from what I remember.
Boobs.
It was reprinted in Conan the Barbarian, issue number 16 from April of 1972 in color. It has an extra page, so it's 12 pages. This is, again, through Marvel Comics. And it was, because I having looked through these and rereading them, there is at least one panel in which, in the original Atali, and I don't remember if that's the name she's given in the comic, and looking it up here, I just looked it up and it is Atali. That's the name she's given in the comic. But there's at least one panel that in the original, she's standing there with that thin, transparent gossamer veil in front of her chest area.
Seriously, boobs.
And you can see through it in the Savage Tales version, but you cannot see through it in the Conan the Barbarian version.
How great are boobs?
They're pretty great.
Because that is, it wasn't a magazine. It was a comic book at that point, and so it fell under the Comics Code Authority guidelines. They reprinted it a third time for Savage Sword of Conan number 1 from June of 1974. This was another black and white magazine. So again, 12 pages, Roy Thomas and Barry Windsor Smith. Then in 2004, when Dark Horse picked up the license, in issue number 2 of their comic that they just titled Conan from March of 2004. They did a 22-page adaptation of The Frost Giant's Daughter. It was written by Kurt Busiek, art by Kerry Nord, letters by Richard Starkings, and the colorist was David Stewart. They added a bit to the story because, again, this was issue number 2 of the series, and they were trying to do kind of a not separate stories per issue. They kind of were trying a 5-6 issue storyline, as they were known to do at that point. You know, they started to I don't want to use the term right for the trade, but that's what a lot of stories had started doing. And so they just kind of wove the Frost Giant's Daughter into the main story that they were telling there over those 5 or 6 issues. And so the events of the Frost Giant's Daughter appeared in issue number 2 of that book. And then the only other comic book adaptation that I'm aware of is from Ablaze Comics, which I talked about earlier. They did a 3-issue mini called The Cimmerian, The Frost Giant's Daughter. It ran from December of 2020 to February of 2021. Each issue was 32 pages. It was written by Robin Recht and also art by Robin Recht. They also have Robert E. Howard listed as the writer. I believe that they actually were reprinting the short story in installments in the back matter of each 3 of these issues. And this is an extended adaptation. I mean, they took what, in essence, you know, Marvel Comics did a 11-page adaptation of this story, and that was really all you needed, because, again, there's not a lot to this tale. It's literally just Conan fights a dude in the ice and snow. He wins. This half-naked girl appears, and she's like, oh, hey, big, muscly warrior guy, follow me. He chases her. He is ambushed by 2 frost giants. He kills them both. He snatches her up, and then she's saved by her father. And he wakes up to learn that it might have been a dream and that it actually wasn't. This, however, they add a lot to it. The whole first issue is the battle between the Icer and the Vanir. And Tali is watching the battle. She's very into it. One of the things that I did kind of leave out is that it seems that she likes to choose the mightiest warrior, then present that warrior's heart to her father as a gift, basically.
It's the gift that keeps on giving the whole year.
And so she's watching the battle, and she's really into it. She's waiting for to pick out the mightiest warrior. And then at the end of the issue, of course, we're learned that that mighty warrior is Conan. And so there's a lot in the second issue where he actually travels with her for a little bit, spends the night, and it's like the next day that she starts mocking him and taunting him, that he starts chasing her, and her 2 brothers that he ends up fighting end up not being frost giants in this, but they're 2 giant polar bears. And then everything kind of happens the way it does in the story. I mean, all that is there, but there's just a lot more added to it. And this particular version of Conan, these Cimmerian books, are uncensored, as they say. They're for mature readers. And so there's nudity in this story.
So these boobs.
Paint me a word picture.
All right, Ted.
And there's even almost a drawn-out scene where, and it might be, if I'm trying to remember now, because it's been a couple of days since I read it, and reading all these back-to-backs, they kind of flow into each other a bit. But I believe it is when, here, I'll tell you what, let me just look it up real quick. Y'all talk amongst yourselves. I mean, really, it's not going to, there's not a lot you're going to have to do to occupy yourself as I'm looking this up, because any dead time, any dead air, I'm just going to edit out anyway. But there's a whole segment in the second issue, because the whole part of the storyline where she is trying to entice him takes place over most of the second issue, and she's really like she's showing him some stuff. And at one point, as he's chasing her, he falls into a pit, and there's like all these dead warriors around him or whatnot. And she takes that time to start. Well, she starts touching herself in a rather private way.
That's too much information.
And so, yeah, it's while the book isn't hardcore pornographic, it's definitely a mature reader's book. It's, I think one of the issues I saw online has it listed as ages 16 and up, which is, it's issue number 3. The other two just say mature, and issue 3 says mature, and then in parentheses, 16 and up. So I don't know if that means that they consider the first two issues more mature than the third issue, and that the third issue is only kind of mature. If you're 16, you're fine. But or if all three are considered 16 and up. But I think it would be silly to have the first two issues be rated more mature than the third issue. That would be kind of like having a trilogy of movies and each one are rated differently. But, you know, it is what it is. Not really sure why I'm really going into so much detail in regard to the ratings on that particular book. But looking back over the various adaptations of The Frost Giant's Daughter, I don't know if I had to choose one that was my favorite, it would be this newest one, the Cimmerian 3-issue miniseries, if only because it expands more upon the story. It takes this idea that Robert E. Howard had created and made it into something they just fleshed it out a bit more. Now, having read the issues, however, I don't know that I would have enjoyed purchasing these issues, you know, as single issues and reading the story each month, because even with them, you know, padding out, fleshing out the story, there's still not a whole lot to it. And so when you read each issue by itself and then you have to wait a month for the next issue, it doesn't feel like there's a lot there until you put it all together and read all 3 issues at the same time. The art was gorgeous. Now, the art's really good on all 3 adaptations, whether it's Barry Windsor Smith over there on the Marvel version, Cary Nord on the Dark Horse version, or Robin Recht here on the Cimmerian. The art is gorgeous on all 3. And I don't know. I mean, I would probably choose the Cimmerian as my favorite of the 3 adaptations. But all in all, the story itself, I'm not a big fan of. I've said that already. It's not one of my favorite Conan stories. It's probably, having not read all 21 of them yet at this point, it's probably my least favorite of all the Conan stories, which is kind of a shame because most collections of Robert E. Howard's Conan stories start out with The Frost Giant's Daughter, because they tend to, when they put these collections together, they tend to list the stories in order of, in chronological terms, in regard to Conan's fictional life. So even though The Phoenix on the Sword, which is set at the end, you know, when Conan is a king, was the first one that got published, The Frost Giant's Daughter is the first one that they print in these collections because it's set early in Conan's history, the first, what would be the first story in Conan's fictional life, basically. So, yeah.
Well, there you go, folks. One episode down. Episode 2 will land next month because, well, I guess I didn't specify at the beginning, but for the time being, episodes are going to release monthly.
A month? Yikes.
I know. I'm sorry. I wish I could do them more often, and we may get there, but for now, I don't want to promise anything that I'm not going to be able to deliver. Anyway, as I said, episode 2 is going to land around this time next month, and I'm going to be looking at The Phoenix on the Sword, which, as of the time I'm recording this, was adapted by Marvel Comics in Conan the Barbarian Annual number 2 from June of 1976, as well as the 4-issue miniseries King Conan, The Phoenix on the Sword from Dark Horse Comics that ran from January to April of 2012. So there, you have a month to read the Robert E. Howard story, either of the 2 comic book adaptations, or all 3. Until then, folks, my name is Steven, and this has been Hither Came Conan. Bye.
Hither Came Conan is a production of Stephen or Else Media. Find more podcasts at stephenorelse.com. Questions and comments can be directed to feedback@hithercameconan.com or join us on social media. Just look for @ConanPodcast on Twitter and Blue Sky and @HitherCameConan on Instagram, Threads, and Facebook. If you enjoyed today's episode, please rate the show over on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening. Members of the Super Secret Steven Society get episodes early and ad-free, and some tiers have access to exclusive bonus episodes. Sign up now using the link in the show notes, or just go to secretsociety.hithercameconan.com. Memberships start at just $1 a month. And hey, thanks for listening.
Many wars and feuds did Conan fight. Honor and fear were heaped upon his name. In time, he became a king by his own hand. This story shall also be told.
Number three, I don't know an awful lot about either Conan or... Number three, I don't know an awful lot about either Conan...
Blah, 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 blah.
Number three, I don't... Episode one of Hither Named Conan... Episode one of Hither Came Conan.
Just don't think I can move through life knowing that a guy named Steven did this to me.
How could you let this happen, Steven?
Enough talk.